Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Joe O Show.
It's yours. Whose world is this? It's your world, Joe.
It's your world, Joe.
It's your world, Joe.
You're listening to the Joe Ostrowski Show, nights on 670 The Score.
Getting a few shows in this week before Bulls basketball starts. That starts in 1 week. Joe Ostrowski here for the next 3 hours, hanging out with you. You got nothing going on. There's no playoff baseball all of a sudden, so hang out. We'll check with Sahadev Sharma at 8 o'clock, doing a great job covering the Cubs. Wrote a fantastic piece the other day. I want to discuss that. And 9 o'clock, our buddy Chris Ranji will check in after his Cardinals were swept out. Oh, that was beautiful. Just beautiful, the Nationals. If you were paying attention in the middle of the summer, and they're just kind of floating out there, fighting for a wild card spot, not really in the race for the division as Atlanta was running away from it, but they still had their strong pitching. Some big numbers out there, including 35-1 for the National League. So last night was a lot of fun. So they're going to have about a week to rest for that one. I would not want to face them. I know everyone's handing the World Series to the winner of the Astros and Yankees, but there's going to be a rested Strasburg and a rested Scherzer waiting for them, each of those guys pitching at least a couple of times, all hands on deck, once you get to the World Series. So come on, can't wait for that. That's going to be fun. But first, we'll have to get through the ALCS. But I want to start off with some Bears conversation. Just heard Bears All Access right here on 670 The Score, and we're waiting. God, I hate the bye week, man. Just come on, let's get to some football already. It feels like we're back in the summer, just waiting for the season to start when this wild ride just got going here. And because last week, after the London loss, it was so much about the offensive line, and the offense has been the issue for this team. I mean, how do you deny it? I mean, look at some of the numbers. They are bottom five in all of football. They're down with the worst, the Miamis, the Jets when Darnold was out, Washington. Just that Cincinnati, that's where the Bears are. That's how bad it's been offensively. I don't think anybody saw that coming, because when you're at training camp, when you're thinking about that fresh start after how it ended last season, you only look at the positives. Well, everything's going to be better. Mitch is going to take another step. Anthony Miller, they love him. He's going to take another step. Look, he had all those touchdowns in his rookie year. Move up and get David Montgomery to be your running back. Everything's going to be great. Continuity on the offensive line. That's what they sold you, the Bears fan. All that stuff's going in the other direction. All of it. So now we're sitting here after a couple of weeks talking about that Oakland loss, and it certainly sounds like Mitchell Trubisky will be the quarterback on Sunday. So he would miss one full game, according to that. The injury report today was a full practice for Trubisky, Bilal Nichols, and Taylor Gabriel. And Gabriel, sneaky important too, because is there anybody else on this roster that's going to take the top off the defense? No, yeah, you have Allen Robinson, but it doesn't mean you have a whole receiving core. And that's something that Pace has struggled throughout his time here, and really the entire offense. But the man can scout a defense. And now the question moving forward is, what does it look like without Akeem Hicks? I'm sorry, but the sample size of one in a game against the Vikings when they were determined to run the football early, that's what they're going to do all year. That's what their head coach wants to do. When they're determined to do that and the Bears' defensive line that is so deep, I'm not going to say because of the results of that one game, the Bears' defense is still elite without a Pro Bowler in Akeem Hicks. I mean, the way he's played over the last couple of years, really, he should have been a Pro Bowler the last 2 years. He only got the nod once, and he's one of the top three players on what many of us call the best defense in the NFL. So you think, okay, we're deep. It's going to be fine. There won't be more attrition, more injuries? Of course there will be. So we need to see it again. How are they without Akeem Hicks? They're holding out hope. Doesn't sound very confident to me, holding out hope that he'll be back at some point this season. I mean, don't forget what he was doing last 2 years, and especially last year. Yeah, all the attention is on Khalil Mack, but they have so many good players that a lot of teams decided, well, we can't put all our attention on Mack. We can't do that. You could make the argument if Fletcher Cox isn't in the NFC that maybe Akeem Hicks is an all-pro. Big difference between an all-pro and a pro bowler. So that's something to look for on Sunday. What are they going to do? Now, the Saints injury report is not very good for New Orleans fans, too. We're so focused on the Bears side of things, but you have to look at some of the best, the biggest weapons that they have, and it all begins with Alvin Kamara. Everything goes through him. Yeah, we can talk about one of the best receivers in football, and they have him, Michael Thomas, but everything goes through Kamara. He gets so many touches. He's so involved in the offense through the run and through the air. He did not practice today. He wasn't practicing a lot last week, has this high ankle issue, and his snaps were limited against Jacksonville. They were still able to pull off the victory against Jacksonville. Drew Brees is not practiced. It looks like it's a foregone conclusion that even though he started throwing a couple of weeks, they put that video out and teams are thinking, hey, maybe Brees is going to be back. There isn't any conversation about Brees returning. It's going to be Bridgewater and Trubisky under center. Tre'Quan Smith, pretty good receiver for them, also did not practice. Same thing with tight end Jared Cook. So a lot of their weapons on offense are sitting down at Saints practice. Check on the final injury report of the week. That's the real important one. But right now, it's not looking great for the Saints. But the thing is, why they've been so successful this season with a 5-1 record, it's what makes the Bears a threat. It's the same thing. It's the defense. And what worries me is they have a more experienced and a better coach. Their one loss was when Brees was injured, Bridgewater out of the game. Didn't have a chance to game plan for that. He wasn't taking snaps all week, and they got rolled. They got steamrolled. But I don't know if you really want to count that. I mean, sure, it counts in a loss column, but I wouldn't hold that against them too much. The interesting thing about the Saints is if you're not watching these games, if you're just taking a look at the schedule and results, hey, are they really that dominant? 5 wins. All of them one-score games. 2-point game against Houston, 6 against Seattle. That really close Sunday night game against Dallas. Remember, that was a 2-point game, 12-10. A touchdown win over Tampa Bay. A touchdown win over Jacksonville last week. Gardner Minshew, let's start there last week. He was having a lot of success around against much of the league. They shut him down. They scored one offensive touchdown, and once that happened, because the Saints' defense is playing so well, it felt like that game was completely out of reach. That 7-point victory over Tampa, there's a garbage touchdown at the very end. You're looking at box scores or just a schedule and results, that's not going to help you. That's going to tell you that. 6-point win at Seattle. At Seattle, regarded as one of the toughest venues to win as a road team. There were 2 garbage touchdowns at the end. They smoked the Seahawks. And now people are jumping up and saying, well, is it the Saints or the Seahawks as the best team in the NFC? It's a week-to-week league. It changes so much. But yeah, don't take a look at that and say, well, all these one-score victories, it's bound to change. They're really taking care of teams, even without Drew Brees. And sometimes I feel when we say Drew Brees, we think it's the quarterback of yesteryear. Do you remember how that year ended? First off, they started to go through the run years ago because he doesn't have the same arm strength. And in the playoffs, he couldn't go deep. I mean, why does Sean Payton, he tries to mix it up so much. You see him bringing Bridgewater from time to time, and Taysom Hill. You'll see some Taysom Hill action over at Soldier Field on Sunday. But as we've been sitting for a couple of weeks, waiting for another Bears game, it's felt like Mitch Trubisky week. And if you listen to this show regularly, you understand that I'm not a big fan. He has a lot of faults, and we're seeing all these younger quarterbacks with less experience. We kept hearing Mitch doesn't have the college experience. Well, there's guys coming in, stepping in with less experience and having more success and not turning the football over. But we have to be fair about this. He hasn't played a quarter of football in 3.5 weeks. So the opinion that you had of Trubisky after that Redskins game should not be different than what it is at this moment. Now, if you want to criticize him for not being available, that is fair. I'm up for that conversation. But if we all agree that we're going to give Trubisky this third season before we evaluate him, before they decide if they're going to give him a contract, I have a feeling we're going to sit here at the end of the season and the Bears won't know, and they'll just move on to year four without giving out that bad contract, because you look around the league and there are some teams making some big mistakes, handing out too much money because they wanted to make that quick decision and they talked themselves into something. I don't know if the Bears are going to be doing that. They might go the full 5 years on this thing. But if you want to rip him not being available, his biggest asset hurts the team the most. You can say that. Why'd he miss 2 games last year? Because of his legs. Why'd he miss the Oakland game? Because of his legs. Got injured while running. And the offensive line was really exposed when it was the worst when Daniel was out there because of Mitch's mobility. That has something to do with it. But you have to keep going back to the evaluation of the offense. It just isn't there. Now, to criticize Mitch, I think it's perfectly fair because of what he was not doing in his 4 games. So the same people that are saying, that are defending Mitch, give him the full year, and I'm okay with that. But you can't also say that, well, let's not look at anything from the first year. Well, I don't want to hear about his 30-plus starts because you can't count that first year. Well, why not? Again, other situations around the league, these backups weren't prepared to play and they're stepping in because that's what you have to do. Yeah, Mike Glennon was supposed to play that entire year. Didn't work out. Why? Because the front office doesn't know how to evaluate the position. So what did you do? Well, he had to play with John Fox and Dale Loggins, and without weapons, Allen Robinson wasn't even here. Here's the problem with the first 4 games. His numbers are worse now than with Dowell Loggins, John Fox. I mean, that's alarming with what we've seen so far. 4 games, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Yards per attempt, the worst of his young career at 5.5. Yards per completion, the worst by far at 8.5. QBR, 31.3, the worst. 147 yards per game, the worst. So that's what we do. And, you know, every week should actually be Mitch Trubisky week. Because even though they feel they're in this championship window, number one, and we can all agree on this, it's about winning games. Are you going to win games? That's first and foremost. Because you don't want to waste any time with this defense, with Khalil Mack in his prime. I get that. But the other thing is the Trubisky thing. You have to get the quarterback position figured out. Have we learned anything this week? Is he getting better? And that's why we're spending so much time talking about it, because he's actually getting worse. Based on what we've seen so far, he's actually getting worse. And if you want to look through the rosy sunglasses, I get it. Okay. Put themselves in position to win the playoff game against the Eagles. Put themselves in position to win that game against the Broncos. What do you do at the end against the Packers? You have to look at both sides here. 312-644-6767. So a lot of times when I'm trying to figure out what the average Bears fan is thinking right now, I turned to one of the producers here. He's not working tonight. He was working earlier today, Adam Studzinski, and just how he's feeling. And I feel like I have a decent gauge on how the average Bear fan is feeling right now going into this game. I was looking at him about a half hour ago. I said, Herb, he's just in here pacing. He's like taking these deep breaths. I'm like, what is going on? And we're just talking about the Bears. Like, you are stressed about this game, and it's Wednesday. He's completely nervous. Are you nervous about this game? You've called it a must-win game.
Let's see. I think everything favors the Bears. If they do lose this game, it's season over.
Season over at 3-3.
Yeah.
Well, Rams are 3-3. Cowboys are 3-3. Is it season over for them?
No, they have a different schedule and different teams and better quarterbacks, by the way.
Wait. I don't know that Dak.
Yes.
You sure?
Yes. Better than Mitch? Yeah, hell yes.
Don't have a better head coach. Tell you that much.
Do they not?
I will say that Matt Nagy is better than Jason Garrett. Mm. Two head coaches of the year, by the way. Mm. I mean, what are we talking about?
Yeah. Very questionable. Yes, coming off a bye week at home. Inclement weather. Drew Brees ain't playing. Kamara's not playing. Let's go.
You have to win.
You got your starting quarterback back. Let's go.
No jet lag, right?
Yeah.
No jet lag this time?
Let's ball.
Not going to hear about that?
Everything is set up for the Bears to come out victorious right now. And if you don't, troubles.
They're on a back-to-back roadie, too. Julio, are you nervous as a Bears fan? Is it season on the line in week number 7 post-bye?
I'm not nervous, but I do feel the season's on the line. I don't think the Bears are going to win on Sunday.
I think they can.
But it's...
Why don't you think they're going to win?
I just have a feeling, trying to chart this game in my head, I think it's going to be close. It's going to be a defensive battle both sides.
No question. That would surprise me more than anything if this is a two-score game.
I just feel late in the fourth quarter, Trubisky will have a mistake, either an interception or an inability to score, to where the Saints can go on and win by a field goal or maybe a touchdown.
If you're going to criticize this Bears defense, we can talk about late in game. They're not closing out games like they did last year. They're not.
And I'm impressed with the way the Saints are playing without their best player. Even though the offense may not be as fluid as some would like, that defense is really picking up for the rest of the offense.
Which best player?
Well, Weapon and Drew Brees, but as
he's not their best player.
As you're alluding to his arm strength, it's...
No. Kamara's their best player, at least on offense. Maybe best player overall, probably Lattimore, honestly. So where are you at? Are you nervous? Are you nervous about this game? What concerns you the most? 312-644-6767. I'm just getting the vibe. It feels like it's different than the season opener. And I know we've been waiting around for a long time. This isn't even a division opponent. And there's this nervousness about this game. Already on Wednesday, your quarterback is back. I mean, you can rip Trubisky as much as you want. But I will not listen to someone that tells me that Trubisky is the same or not an upgrade over Daniel, because he is. And we saw that. I mean, look at his last two games. The man has 4 interceptions. Lost to the Giants, lost to the Raiders. I mean, what else do we have to say? And the turnovers and the fumbles, part of those losses. 312-644-6767. Are you guys nervous about this one? Come on in. Text messages 67011. Tweets at Joe0670. 8 o'clock, we'll check in with Sahadev Sharma about the Cubs managerial search. 9 o'clock, we'll check in with our friend
Chris Raji, if the Cardinals are swept out of the playoffs. This is the Joe O Show on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joe O, nights 6 to 10.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll hear from a couple of very, very smart voices on football, much smarter than myself. If you missed it last night, around 7 o'clock, I checked in with Dan Durkin from The Athletic. Terrific analysis on the quarterback play around the league. I pulled a three-minute clip about Trubisky. We're going to bring that back to you this hour. And also Michael Lombardi. And before you go run and scream about Lombardi, he has opinions. He's not scared to share them. Doesn't care if he's on Chicago radio. But it's really about the decision that Pace has and what he has to do coming up pretty soon. Not really about ripping Trubisky. 312-644-6767, bottom of the hour, is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Illinois. Season tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at NUSports.com. Waukesha, Wisconsin, we go. Good evening, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing good. What's on your mind?
Well, I think we really need to support Mitch. I think it's a little too early to be so critical. I think we got to look at, has Mitch really gotten all the assistance he needs from the coaching staff, the play calling? Has the offensive line really provided him enough time to throw? I don't know if I'm alone with this, but I think that the more time you give a quarterback to throw, the more options he has to locate an open receiver. And I don't know myself that he's really gotten that. And how Cohen fits in the
Mike, 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 other... Mike, how has he looked when he has time? Instead of just pointing at everybody else, I think you also have to look at Mitch. I agree with you. The offensive line has been terrible, one of the worst in the league. The receiving group outside of Allen Robinson, pathetic. They can't figure out the tight end position. Of course, there's not going to be a running game when you have an offensive line which can't block, but you don't, just because of all of those issues, does not mean that the quarterback escapes criticism because he's in his third season, second year in this offense. The good ones around the league, you know what they do? They change things up. All of a sudden, they're making plays that other QBs can't.
Yeah, I guess I look at last year. We were 12-4. I think there were signs of greatness in Mitch. It hasn't translated to this year. I don't disagree. But I think that there's some other things wrong other than Mitch. That's all I'm saying.
Right. I think everything's wrong outside of Allen Robinson. What's right on the offense? Where's the weapon of Tariq Cohen? He was your best playmaker last year. Allen Robinson missed a few games, and he's just coming back off the ACL, and he's still impressive. And you saw how he was getting the volume at the end of the season, and that's carried over into this year, because it has to be, because he's your best weapon on offense. But yeah, it's everywhere. You can point everywhere, but you also have to point to the quarterback. And I'll say it forever. We all should say it. It is the most important part of a football team. It can make you great. It can make you horrible. Jeff in Atlanta, you're on 670 The Score.
Oh, hey, Joe. How's it
Jeff?
Going tonight, man?
Good.
Good, man, good. I just wanted to talk a little bit. First of all, we got to look at what defenses Mitch has been facing. That has a lot to do with how you're going to perform. Agreed? He faced the Packers in the first week and looked terrible. Everybody agrees he looks bad.
Mm-hmm.
But the second week, we played Denver. Denver, look at what Denver's defense has done the last 2 weeks. They have not given up a touchdown. They got him going. Fangio's got him going.
Well, they're finally forcing turnovers, right.
Yeah, and then he didn't get to face Minnesota, but what, six plays before he got hurt? In Minnesota.
Wait. Hang on, Jeff. I can't just let you just skip over Washington.
He did throw three touchdown passes.
He had a good quarter.
Yes, he did. That strike to Gabriel in the corner. You got to admit.
That was beautiful.
That was Mahomes-esque.
That was one of the better. That might be his best throw in his career.
You might be right. Although that throw in Denver to set up the winning field goal was also pretty nice throw. Pretty clutch, if nothing else. Although the Denver game, anyone who says he had a good game, that game's nuts.
No.
Pretty bad.
He did not.
But let's flip the ball to the defense. What makes you think Bridgewater and the Saints are going to come in and do anything? Look at the offenses that we've shut down at Soldier Field. Minnesota twice, far better offense. The Rams, Green Bay when they came in last December. What makes you think the Saints are going to move the ball at all?
Jeff, I didn't say the Saints are going to win. I don't think that. I think this defense, it better look much different than what we saw in the first half over in London, and I expect that coming off the bye. If they look anything like that, there are a lot of problems outside of the quarterback position. No, I expect them to dominate. But here's the thing. What we talked about all season was the offense has to take steps. They have to put more points on the board because you can't ask the defense to do this every game. And then what happened in the Raiders, it's going to happen a couple other times this year because even the best defenses, there's a couple clunkers in there. But the offense, you've got to put at least 20 points on the board.
I think what everybody misses about the Bears offense, though, is what we did best out of any team last year was time of possession. While Mitch wasn't able to put the ball in the end zone, he was able to get first downs. And that's what we did. We stayed on the field and let our defense just ate people up. So that's what Mitch needs to get back to is keep converting those first downs. That's kind of what he did last year.
Thank you, Jeff. That's an important point from Jeff, too. Because I mentioned the defense, how they are in the fourth quarter. They've had their struggles. Why? Multiple times you can see it. They're gassed. Why are they gassed? Because they're on the field all game. That's why. So that's an important point from Jeff. Good job there. Northwest Indiana, Mike, you're on 670 The Score.
Good evening, gentlemen. Just wanted to make a couple of quick comments and then I'll hang up here.
Yeah.
Talking about the defense and the offense, what would you guys think about the Bears really slowing down the game with Trubisky? You know, taking their time, getting up to the ball, running the clock down to the bare minimum. Would you think that would help the defense in the long run, give them more of a break?
I mean, I don't see it. No, because when we were praising the Bears offense in that Redskins game, what were they doing early? It was tempo, tempo, tempo. You don't want to slow things down. And if we were talking about an elite quarterback on the other side, let's say you're going against Watson, Mahomes, yeah, those guys. If you're going up against a quarterback like that or Brady's on the other side, Rodgers, I'll buy into that a little bit. Maybe you hope to limit their possessions a little bit. But no, with the Saints offense, you got to get first downs. Move the football down the field. Where are the explosive plays? Bears near the bottom of the league in that. So that's why I was happy to see that Taylor Gabriel is going to be back. Need some deep plays here. This segment on The Score brought to you by the Chicago Fire Soccer Club. The Chicago Fire headed back to Soldier Field in 2020. Join the movement today by placing a $20 deposit applicable to any 2020 ticket package or single game ticket, including the club's Soldier Field home opener versus Atlanta United. Visit chicago-fire.com to learn more. Open phone lines 312-644-6767. Julio, let's go to Dan Durkin from last night. We had an extended conversation about the state of the Bears, all the issues they have on offense, and a lot of them include the non-quarterback positions. But I asked Dan about the game planning with Matt Nagy and how much is he really dialing it back. This was supposed to be going from 101 to 202, but it certainly feels like he can't dive into the full playbook because Mitch hasn't grasped it all.
Yeah, it's noticeable for sure. I mean, you could see if you go back and look at the just like let's take the Packers game for example. The play that he got intercepted on in the end zone, they ran that same play on the previous drive. They just flipped the formation. So, I mean, you're talking about a handful of passing concepts that they felt okay running with him in that scenario. You should have your entire playbook available to you at this point in terms of, like, being at this 202 level that they said that he was going to be at. So the Packers knew exactly what was going to come. Allen Robinson from the number three, so the innermost receiver on that side, is going to run a corner, again, trying to create congestion in there by the outside two receivers. They were totally ready for it. Tremont Williams peels off. Adrian Amos is sitting over the top the entire time. Mitch looked at him the whole way because they saw it on the drive, like maybe eight or nine passes prior to that. So that's just an example of them having to run the same package of plays, trying to conceal them by just flipping formations. Teams are too smart. Teams know what you want to do in those situations. They know by how Robinson's lined up, oh, they're going to get him on the corner here because he's inside. I mean, you can start figuring that stuff out. The RPO thing that I pointed out, the fact that they have like a formation tower when they offset the running back to the same side as Trips, I'd say 90% of the time that's going to be an RPO play that's coming from that. So these are all things that are having to be run because you have to kind of give him, hey, here's the call sheet for this week. Maybe Nagy wants it to be 170 plays. Maybe they're only comfortable calling 70 of those plays, those types of things. So I think that's an issue at this point in time, considering this is the only terminology he's had now for 2 years. It's the same set of skill position players. It's the same voices that he's hearing in the meeting room. It's the same voice that he's hearing when he goes to meet with his head coach. So all of these things are in place. I expected him to take a big step forward this year. He hasn't, and I think that all has to come back to the fact that he's not processing information as fast as he needs to be.
We all expect to see Mitch on Sunday at Soldier Field against this very tough New Orleans defense. What are you expecting to see this Sunday out of Mitch and in this game?
I mean, really, for me, I mean, this is a game where you're going to want to just not give the Saints extra possessions. I mean, obviously, they're not nearly as explosive of an offense as they would be if Drew Brees was under center. But, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater just seems to get rid of the ball on time. He gets it to the right people. I think they're going to get a little bit of a reprieve with Alvin Kamara not being 100%. But I really think that with the extra time, you figure out what you want to be as far as a running offense is concerned. Make a commitment to it, because when you're struggling to get the ball down the field like they are, if you're not running the ball, play action isn't even an option. A team's not going to buy any play action fakes when your team is not committed to running the ball. So I think that much like the Denver game, you have to make this one a little ugly. I think you have to just commit to the running game and hope that it creates some opportunities for you later in the game, in the passing game. But, I mean, for me, give it to David Montgomery. I know the Saints' defense is pretty good, but there's going to be some chances, I think, particularly out of the slot to pick on the secondary. I think Lattimore will probably travel with Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson's the one constant that the Bears have had. So this, to me, is a perfect opportunity to establish a little bit of the run game and then try and get Miller or Gabriel out of the slot, because I think there will be some chances for them down the field.
That's Dan Durkin with me last night right here on Sports Radio 670. The Score earlier today, I tweeted out the full link to that interview if you want to check that out on Twitter at JoeO670. It's funny, as the Bears have only played 5 games so far and we're waiting on number 6 here, just how quickly things change in this league. And, of course, it's a week-to-week league. We all know that. We're just looking for any sort of clue to try and figure out what's going to happen on a specific Sunday, and we're usually shocked. There's always some surprises. But just not even a month and a half of the schedule in. Just, okay, look at that schedule, that Bears schedule. Okay, we've got the first-place schedule now. It's going to be so tough. And it's, you're right, it's tougher than last year when they went 12-4. I get that. But all of a sudden, you're looking at some of these games coming up. Oh, well, those games are easier than I thought, and those games are more challenging than I figured. Example, easier, the Chargers. They don't have an offensive line. Phillip Rivers has no shot back there. Philadelphia coming off another loss. I want to see what they are Sunday night against Dallas. But they can't rush the passer. They're having issues there. When they won the Super Bowl, that was a different case. The Rams, 3-3 Rams. Does that look as tough as it did? They've lost 3 straight games. Cowboys, okay, you rolled some bad teams early on. What have you done lately? Chargers, Eagles, Rams, Cowboys, all of a sudden those games look easier. But maybe they're saying the same thing about the Bears. Tougher too. You have to take a look at those games. If you're going to say, hey, those games are easier, well, those Detroit games look tougher. They're a 500 team. They can play. Looks like they're going to hang. We'll see if they keep it up. Green Bay. Got Green Bay week one, held them to 10 points, but now they're sitting at 5-1. Last regular season game at Minnesota. How well they're playing up there with a perfect record. So I think up there will be tougher than we expected. You know, even the Giants, because you would expect Daniel Jones to get better and better each week. So by the time they play the Giants, maybe they can't stop anybody, but maybe they can put up some points. There's just, it keeps changing in this league. You know this. Sometimes we have to reassess what exactly is going on. And then also on the Bears side, you didn't think for week seven, okay, no Kyle Long and no Akeem Hicks for a long, long time. 312-644-6767. Joe Ostrowski with you. 8 o'clock, we'll talk some Cubs with Sahat of Sharma. You've got the score.
You're listening to the Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
Got Bears Saints on Sunday. Let me double check this line, see if there was any movement today now that Kamara did not practice for the Saints. Trubisky was a full go for the Bears. Don't know how much that really moves. I think we learned in London it doesn't affect the line too much, but it should impact it in some way. Yeah, it depends where you're at. Some places it's 3, and there's a few out in Las Vegas where it's 3.5. It's interesting because if you take the typical 3 points for home field, which I think is a little off now, look at how road teams are doing this year, man. They are dominating. I think we're kind of learning that home field doesn't mean as much as we thought it did in the past. Or maybe just instead of 3 points, it's closer to 2 points. We'll see. It's funny because we talk about, oh, Seattle's so tough to play. Arrowhead's so tough to play. These are the tough places to play. Foxborough's difficult to win there. Yeah, you're right. You know what all those teams have in common? They're really good. The Bears didn't have much of a home field at all at the end of Trestman and the John Fox era. You know why? Because they were bad. And it was a lot different last year. When they were winning, and people were thinking, hey, there's something here. This is the old Bears defense that we loved throughout our entire lives. If the team's good, there's more of a home field. The Chargers have no home field. Because that was a Steelers home game if you watched any of that on Sunday night. Northside James, you're on 670, The Score with Joe Ostrowski.
What's up, Joel? Listen, I don't see the Bears making the playoffs. They got the schedule's tough, and the teams you mentioned, they have quarterbacks. So I don't, they might go maybe 8-8, 9-7, somewhere around there. But
yeah.
Losing Akeem Hicks, that's a big blow to that defense. He clogs the middle, and he sacks the quarterback, too. You can't replace that. You know, I'm getting tired of people saying about Trubisky, it's not his ball, it's his third year. Now we're talking about a serviceable quarterback. You're the number two pick in the draft. You're number two ahead of Watson Mahomes. I'm sick and tired of that. You made a mistake, Pace. Live up to it now. You made a mistake. Nobody told you to pick this guy over Watson. Look at what Watson has done. If Watson was on the Bears, we would have a dynasty like the Patriots. I guarantee you that. We would have a dynasty like the Patriots had if Deshaun Watson was our quarterback.
The Patriots?
I'm talking about with Brady. We would have a dynasty with that defense. You have to have a quarterback. How are you picking Trubisky? I don't understand this. People are like, oh, all the calls that greatness. Greatness? If if you call that greatness, what's Mahomes and Watson? I mean, let's, you know what? Let's stop calling it how it is, man. You made a mistake. You made a mistake, Dave. Let's call it how it is. I'm getting tired of making excuses for Nagy and Trubisky now, okay? You pick these guys on offense. I give you credit. You made good picks on defense.
Mm-hmm.
You bombed on offense. You cannot bomb on offense, okay? You had it right there. All you had to do is get Watson, dude, and take it from there. You didn't. You thought you were going to be outsmarting John Lynch. John Lynch played you, and you gave up all that draft picks to go up in the draft. I thought he was going to get Watson or Mahomes. You wanted to pull this crap on the Chicago Bears? You should have been fired right there, man. I don't care what anybody said. That was a bad pick. It's going to haunt this organization for 10 years or more later.
James, bringing it. Outside of the Patriots dynasty comment, I can't disagree with any of that. Any of it. See, if this doesn't turn around, if we don't see improvement from Trubisky real quick, we're going to say, even though people are sick of talking about it, I mean, we don't even have to say Mahomes and Watson. We can just talk about the evaluation of quarterbacks. We're fired up about Mike Glennon. Tried to move up to draft Marcus Mariota. A complete bust. And fired up about Trubisky. He's the guy. Got to move up because I don't want us to get stuck with Watson or Mahomes. These are fireable offenses. And he said, well, you got to take quarterback every year. You should take quarterback every year. He didn't have a quarterback. Year one, did he do it? Year two, did he do it? No and no. Why? Gave him more time. He was buying time for the Ryan Pace era. Ryan Pace era has shown us a great defense, but a horrendous offense. You want to jump in, Herbie? It seemed like you were ready to jump in.
I was just going to say, rack them.
Clones.
I was going to say also, that is probably the best call we've had of the night. I mean,
oh,
it's not saying a lot, but
I mean, know, yeah, there's some great people on the text line that are saying that Watson's only a bum slayer. Okay. If that's what he is, I don't believe he is. Fifth quickest to 50 career touchdowns ever. It's a pretty good list, by the way.
Yeah, and I just
Mahomes on that list.
Rattled off the stats to a guy who said that he's overrated. I said 12 touchdown passes, 5 rushing, 3 interceptions, 70% percentage of completions, 107.9 passer rating. That's not overrated. That's balling.
Yes. Yes. When your offense can put up 50, I don't care who's on the other side. Come on. And now, Herb, we were talking about this during the commercial break. Now, with what we've seen out of Watson, has he been great in every game? No, he hasn't. They didn't score a lot against Jacksonville. Same deal against Carolina. But the other games, look at what he's doing. If he is just beating up on bad defenses, I will take that, okay? If it's 6 to 8 games against some awful defenses and he's going to throw 30 to 50 points up there, I will take that every time. And he's going to get better. That's the difference. Is this guy going to get better? Yeah, he messed up. There's just no way around it. We've moved past that, right? That's unanimous. And if you were holding on for Mitch and he can still be great, I think we're just at a point right now where, okay, just based on what those other guys are doing. Not so much Trubisky. Just look at what those other guys are doing and what we've seen after 30-plus games. Mitch is not going to reach that level. I think we all agree there. But what are you going to do about it now? You made the mistake, so what are you going to do? Because you have to fix this position, and your winning window is right now. Let me squeeze in Brian and Naperville before we get to Sahadov. What's going on, Brian? You're on the score.
Hey, so I was just going to real quick see if you could offer some maybe opinions on, we talk about Mitch Trubisky a lot, talk about obviously the role of the quarterback being, you know, the most important, you know, position in the game.
Yeah.
People love to talk about the Patriots, and obviously Tom Brady is a phenomenal quarterback. But I don't know. I don't really hear a lot of people talking about, like, what is your opinion? Do you think that a coach, like a professional coach, can have good years and bad years in the same way that a player can, right? So, like, Mitch got hurt, Mitch is out, Mitch needs to sit on the sidelines. Obviously, you know, the coach isn't going to get sidelined physically, but I'm just wondering if, you know, there's a big difference, it seems like, between this year and last year. I'm wondering if you think that that's something that can happen to a coach, like Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
You know, can he have a bad year? You know, is he calling the wrong plays? And that's really all I had to say. I'm just wondering if you could pontificate on the idea of a coach. Because, like, when I look at the Patriots, right, I'm scared of Bill Belichick, right?
Everyone
I play chess,
is. Yeah.
And, you know, when you play a good chess player, like, you're scared, right? Because you're dealing with, like, a vicious mind. And so that's – I'm going to shut up now, but I'm wondering what your thoughts are.
No,
thank
yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. It's a good point because what are we saying right now? Well, they're dialing back the offense because it's all on Mitch. No, head coaches can absolutely have bad years, and that was one of the keys. So nobody expected Nagy to have a 12-4 year and to win that award as the best coach, right? And so what did the entire league do in the offseason? They went to school on Nagy, his offense, and everything. Hey, Sean McVay, the genius. If you ever had coffee with Sean McVay and you're in the NFL, guess what? You're going to be hired as a head coach. We're going to give you boatloads of money to come and coach here. How's he looking right now? Shanahan got the best of him, and McVay's team has lost 3 games in a row. Once upon a time, Jason Garrett, regarded as a bottom 5, maybe the worst head coach in the NFL, he was a coach of the year. There are other guys that had to leave the league. You know, Jim Harbaugh had to go to college. That's what he decided to do. I think absolutely, because it's a constant adjustment. So now how is he going to adjust back? Is it all just on Trubisky, or is it also in the coaching? I don't like what he's done with the running back. And they went into the offseason and said, all the problems with our run game are on Jordan Howard. He doesn't fit in the offense. We've got to move on from him. So we lock up the offensive line. Everybody comes back. Everything's going to be great. No, the numbers are worse. The O-line is playing worse. So maybe it was more on the offensive line. I mean, that's on the coaching. Went into the offseason, had some self-evaluation, and that's what they came away with. So I definitely think a coach can have a bad year. Unless you're one of the great ones, unless you're Belichick, unless you're, you know, Andy Reid has a lot of bad games. A lot of bad games. He has some bad moments. All right, we've got to move on. We're late for Sahadev Sharma. He's going to join me. Wrote this fantastic piece earlier in the week on the Cubs. It talked about all the changes that are coming and this managerial search that is going on the north side. He joins me next. My name's Joe Ostrowski. You've got the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.